It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. Mark, I've got my co-host Mark Tobin in the studio. I've got added pressure on me this morning.
Why?
The Burnham family are in their vehicle heading for Florida on vacation. They said they'd be listening.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of pressure.
And Andy and Sarah, they're just wonderful humans, and I'm trying to impress them.
Well, you can give that up.
Give that up.
There's a lot more traffic out there this morning.
Wow.
The world is waking up earlier. It seems like a lot of people are coming out of their houses now.
Must be some big tournaments around. I saw a lot of bass boats.
Yeah.
Might be crappie tournament, might be a flathead tournament, might be a catfish tournament. I don't know where it is. But a lot of boats. I saw one poor fella leaning against his boat, filling it up with gasoline this morning. Watching that thing, it was like depressing time, you know, $30-$40 worth of gas, even at this age.
Yeah, well, and you know, just as soon as Memorial Weekend comes around, the gas prices go up. It was
doing
so good there. It was getting close to less than under a dollar a gallon, and then sure as heck, just as soon as the holiday comes, goes up 20, 30, 40 cents.
You don't think we're being manipulated, do you?
No, never.
Never? Oh, okay. Well, you know what? I've decided to come here with good news this morning.
We always have good news.
Well, we always do, but this is... I had a religious experience with a snake again. I didn't eat. The last thing in my mind was a snake. I don't know what it was, but he went one way and I went the other. I went out to the duck blind to kind of check things out and look, see if I got a stand of corn and that kind of stuff. Walked out there and I bent over and pulled some weeds out around the sunflowers and right there in front of my hand. We have mastasaubas, rattlesnakes.
Is that what
there.
It was?
Don't know. Yeah, I didn't get. All I knew there was a snake, and that poor dumb dog of mine ran right over the top of him. Whatever it was, so he didn't get bit. Apparently, boy, it'd give me an excuse to get another one, wouldn't it?
Oh gosh, I just hate snakes.
I don't think dogs pretty well don't die from rattlesnake bites. They look like they're going to die.
Don't want to find out.
Benadryl.
Those mastasaubas, they're pretty venomous, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And you know, if you've got Benadryl, and you got 2 to 5 minutes to get a whole slug of Benadryl down you, they claim that it's not going to be as bad. I was listening to another show one day, and the guy was been bitten 5 times by rattlesnake.
What in the world?
Tough. Barefoot Bob, they called him. Walks around West Texas barefoot, catching hogs.
This is a strange individual.
Yeah, I think we need to call him and see if we can get him on the air.
Yeah,
he's got great stories.
I would think.
He catches these 350-pound hogs live.
Why?
Well, he sells them. Sells them to game farms and stuff.
We should tell him there are easier ways.
Yes. But he's into it, you know. And his boy that day that did the interview with him had been was bit like 9 times that day by a hog.
No and, thanks.
Oh boy, on his buttocks.
So what was the hog trying to do the hind lick maneuver?
Trying to do anything, I think. Oh, you could have gone all day without that one. No doubt about it. Yeah, I want to see if we can get a hold of him. I think that'd be a good show. You know, somebody's been bitten by 5 times by rattlesnakes. My kind of guy. He's tough.
He sounds like a character for sure.
Do you build up immunity to rattlesnake bites?
I have no idea.
I think
don't
you
plan
do.
On finding out.
Oh, it wouldn't hurt you. Your brother Gary, maybe that looks like a rattlesnake bite on his thumb.
Oh, that was his index finger.
Yeah. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
He don't need it anyway.
Yesterday evening, I had a bungee cord snap back off our mower and impaled itself on his finger and just ripped right through the... Ooh, it was bad. It was bad.
He's tough, isn't he?
Yeah, he's pretty tough. Yeah. Although that put a tear in his eye. It was...
Really?
It was painful.
You would just pour some Jack Daniels on and go back to work, wouldn't you?
It was bleeding a little much for that.
Was it? Yeah, pump a little blood out?
We had to take him, get him stitched.
Poor fella.
4 stitches.
4, is that all?
Yeah.
I'd have done that. Why didn't you do it? Just take your fishing hook and some line?
I didn't have either.
Didn't have either?
And my My weed eater line was a little thick.
You
wouldn't make a good stitch.
What you got.
Right. Make do with what you have, right?
Well, here's the good news. I talked to a lot of people throughout the week about fishing, hunting, great outdoor stuff. And I've never, and I observe a lot. You know, I look at things a little bit different, I think, than a lot of people do, because I'm out there in the middle of it a lot of times. But turkeys are still gobbling. The quail hatch. I don't know how many people I've been told me about seeing little baby quail.
Oh, good.
I'm hearing rooster pheasants crowing after the flood out in that river bottom. They survive. I hear stories already of hens, turkeys with poults in southern Missouri. And, you know, my boy, Chris, saw a deer the other night. He said it was orgasmic as far as horns. Just getting nubs up out of his head and starting to fork.
Wow, already.
And I saw something that was pretty special as far as a white-tailed deer. Last year, I kind of put the old deer rifle to the side because I just couldn't get on something that I'd shoot and miss anyway. But I just didn't see anything that got me pumped. You know, I did a lot of scouting, but no, didn't see anything quality. I saw a lot of deer, a lot of bucks. So, but this year, all of a sudden, the adrenaline rush is coming back. And the one he saw must be very, very special because he called me all out of breath about it. And I'm hearing a lot of people saying they're seeing the biggest nubs sticking. Of course, they look huge when they're in velvet. But I'm hearing more stuff.
Well, that is good news.
And then when it can't get any better, I mean, this pumps me up. This is 90 days away. We're going to have a shotgun back in our hand for a dove season or so, 90 some days, who's counting. But the waterfowl population up in Dakotas is a B+. So the crappie fishing this year across the Midwest, I've never heard such stories in my entire life.
No, that's true. You know, all that high water over the Midwest last year has really led to some spectacular fishing this year.
Mm-hmm. It's some buddies that took 3 or 4 days. Memorial Day, we're down on KK Island, filled coolers full of hybrids and whites.
And the water temperature has been unbelievably cool.
Cool.
You know, even at Truman 2 weeks ago, the water temperature was only 62 degrees. You could find some warmer water here and there, but, you know, the fact is that water stayed at that optimum temperature for spawning for a long time, way longer than normal. So, look, you know, hopefully we had, you know, on top of more fish because of the high water and less pressure last year, hopefully they had another really good spawn this year. So
yeah, it's looking good.
Good time to be an outdoorsman.
We'll see.
Or woman.
Or outdoorsman or woman. And speaking of woman, we're going to have girl and a gun. Robin Sandoval is going to join us at 6:30.
Yeah, awesome.
This ought to be cool. I've been wanting to do this show for an awful long time. The virus situation got everybody shut down for a while, and now they're back going, and really looking forward to the interview with her. This is something for our women listeners. I think you're going to want a pencil and paper or at least log on to their website and get involved with this great organization. You know, and this society that we have today, I don't want to go down the negative side, but I think a lot more women should be armed.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And I think just judging by the numbers of firearms being sold and the interest in mm-hmm. first-time buyers of handguns, a lot of people would agree with you.
You know, the NextCheck program is up 74%.
Wow.
The gun industry, I was talking to Ed Hatfield, they're selling guns before they get here. You know, they make those over in Hooghly and Turkey. SARS, our sponsor, which we're so proud of, what a pistol. Man, they are having a record year. So, you know, people run a little bit scared, a little bit nervous. I think it's much to do about nothing, I think, but we'll be okay. This country's pretty tough, and I think things will be just fine, you know, but it's going to take some time to iron out a lot of problems, and, you know, we'll get through it.
Yep.
That's what it all amounts to on the deal. But the most positive thing, too, is I talked to a gentleman who was getting bait and headed for Milford. Big stripers. Have you heard anything out of Milford Reservoir?
No, I had not this past week.
Yeah,
no,
he had that glow.
Really?
He'd been a little bit
twice. You said stripers, but you mean wipers?
Wipers, well, yeah. Hybrids.
Okay. Yeah.
Quit splitting hair. But you're right.
Well, it's that time. You know, normally a week either side of Memorial Weekend is when those hybrids really get going.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is that time. Everything seems a little slow this year. You know, the water has been so cool for so long, but it is that time. So, that's interesting.
The weatherman was telling me, you know, accuracy is not their cup of tea, but the weatherman tells me it's going to be like 89 a week from today.
Yeah. Days in the upper 80s.
Do you believe it?
I'll believe it when it happens. That was supposed to happen last week, too.
Was it?
Yeah. But they got the rain right, finally. After several dismal attempts.
Yeah. It's just a kind of a strange year. I think I see around our little world as things kind of getting back to, you know, I think a year ago today we had 7 foot of water over the top of our duck club.
Yeah. What a difference a year makes. There is some high water out there. Tuttle Creek's 11 foot high. Compare that to 50 foot high last year, though. I mean, it's a big difference. Just here locally, Blue Springs Lake is 6 foot high. Longview Lake's 5 foot high. Stockton's 9 foot high. Palme de Terre's 4 foot high. And all that water goes down through Truman. So although Truman is maybe only 3 feet high right now, they're going to be running some water. And I love it when they run water down through Truman. It does a lot of things. I mean, you get water going through the dam and, you know, down below the dam, the fishing just is spectacular when they're running water. And they should have to run water for a while with all these lakes having to drain down through there. But the other thing is up on the lake, it really it congregates those fish in specific areas when you got current going down through there. So it makes it a little bit easier to find them when they're running water. So I know the white bass fishing when they're running water the last few weeks has just been spectacular. And talking to Richard Bowling, my guide buddy down there on Truman, he's thinking it's going to be the best white bass fishing he's ever seen down there.
I'll bet.
He is finding some huge schools, acres of white bass.
Oh, no.
And he hadn't seen that in a while. So, I mean, and that's right now. And boy, normally, if you can find them when they're running water, you just sit in one spot and you have your limit in no time. But the fun part is you get the new hatch of shad that occurs around July 4th weekend is when it normally happens. And those fish start schooling. They start busting up on top of the water. And when they start doing that, that can be some of the most exciting, most fun fishing that you can do. It's just a blast. So
I tried to explain that to people, what you see when the white bass bust shad. And the best I come up with is an agitator on a washing machine.
Yeah, that's a good description.
It's just absolutely. I remember the first time I saw it on Lake the Ozarks, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It's all about 2 or 3 acres.
Oh, gosh, that much.
That is many, many years ago. And, wow.
Yeah. I was raised fishing Palme de Terre with Mom and Dad, and Dad used to love to run the schooling white bass, but back then there wasn't big bunches of them, but you'd see a bunch here, a bunch there, and you better, when the motor started, you better be sitting down, because Dad wouldn't say a word. he'd start the engine, then he'd give a full throttle.
Away he goes.
So we knew as soon as the engine started up, just reel and sit down. And we were running back and forth chasing those. You get a few casts in on them, and you just get anywhere near them and you catch them. And that's why it's so much fun. They got the feed bag on. They're feeding really aggressively, and a lot of times it doesn't matter what you throw at them, you'll catch them. But there are other times that it can be really frustrating.
Sure.
And it's the beginning of when they're biting on those new hatch, that those shad are not an inch long, and you got to be kind of size specific. If you're throwing into active fish like that and they're not biting, try downsize and see what they're eating, and a lot of times that'll make a difference.
Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing that we talk about from time to time, we probably don't give enough, is these smaller lakes. Guy Park, for instance, up here, we've sent a lot of people up there, and they just love it, catch them hybrid bluegill.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a Jackson kayak.
Oh, yeah.
Got Joe's, and get you one of these, because you're not talking an arm and a leg as far as money.
No.
And you can go back into some of the Cameron City River City Reservoir, the Hamilton City Reservoir with hybrids in them.
Yeah. For a few $100, you can open up just a whole new world of fishing possibility. And that's the thing, Kansas and Missouri both, there's literally several hundred city and county lakes.
Sure is.
And you can't get a bass boat or a boat, a big boat on them, but you can put a kayak on them. And the Jackson kayaks, they're the most stable in the industry. That's why Joe decided to sell those. And you can get them with just to pedal. You don't have to row them. You can put electric trolling motors on them. You can get electronics put on them. Just the sky's the limit on them anymore. You know, but I'm telling you, we were down at Lake of the Ozarks last weekend, and I don't know that I've ever seen so many people on the water. It was ridiculous. But get out there, Sportsman's Outfitter Marine. Check out the and check out that one. It looks like a little catamaran. It's cool. So cool. You step down onto it instead of sitting down into it. So for those that are maybe not quite as agile as we used to be, that is the ticket.
Would you classify yourself as not as agile as you used to be?
Oh, unfortunately, most definitely.
Definitely. Okay. No, I just thought I'd
the rigor of mortis is setting in.
Ladies and gentlemen, Midwest Outdoors, that's the voice of Mark Tobin, the greatest fisherman ever walked face the earth. We're going to take a little bit of a break. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. I'm your host, Fred Ramsey, and here with Mark Tobin, who can catch fish out of his living room, one of the best I've ever been around. Our producer, Blake Schneider, with the long E, Schneider. Don't ever forget that. He's going to be famous one of these days. This is the part of the show where he tries to trick the hosts.
Which is not difficult.
It got me last week. The dumbest thing I just almost stepped on. A sandhill crane that were staying there at our duck club. I think we might have a nest down there in that corner. I'm not real sure. And I blew it. I missed it. After almost stepping on them and hearing them, it's the weirdest sound you ever hear is a sandhill crane. Have you got a bird of the week for us this week?
I do.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Testing your skills today.
Uh-oh. Do that again.
I don't know if I've ever heard that. Is that
a woodpecker, isn't it?
Sounds just like it, doesn't it?
Uh-huh. Can you give us a hint as to where you might find a bird like that?
You might find them in a glorious, glorious state of California.
California. There is no glorious state of California.
What that
did
was
you
a joke.
Say that? What? Yeah, well, it was a joke. Oh, okay. All right.
That was
strange people in California.
Mark can't be the only one with bad jokes on this.
Okay.
No guesses, huh?
I'm having no hang out in California.
Is it
much,
a large bird or a small
it
bird?
It is a small bird.
Small bird.
Pretty fast.
Roadrunner?
Or at least I would say it's pretty fast. It is a California quail.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, nothing like a Bob White.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've never been out there to hunt them. Let's go.
I'm getting good at this.
Yes, you are. You fooled the host again.
Nicely done.
Two in a row. Wow. Let's hear that one. I just can't believe that's a quail. That's just weird.
Yeah, I would have never got that.
It sounded like Gary when he got his thumb hit with the bungee cord.
A little higher pitch.
I bet he said, did he say, ouch, gosh darn, or did he?
Yeah, he knew it was bad. He couldn't look at his finger. He came running to the truck, and I thought, oh, that's not good. He doesn't run, and he's running.
But so far away from his heart, why would he be so upset about that? He's just losing a little blood.
Yeah, well, it was the hook end of that bungee cord that went into his finger, and, yeah, it went pretty deep. He had to pull it out. So,
yeah, that was, he got tough. I don't know about him. His stock went down with me in the deal. So what the hey. You know, I have a lot of people, and I bet you do too, that talk to me and say, where's your favorite place to fish? And I don't even hesitate, blow the dam at Truman.
At times, yeah, absolutely. When they're running water, but it's only when they're running water. If they're not running water, it becomes kind of a ghost town down there. And there, right now, it's according to Richard Bowling again, there are a lot of crappie being caught, but going through a lot of small ones. That slack water area down there is good, yeah, and you never know what you're going to catch. I mean, and that's the fun part about being down there. You just don't know what you might catch. It could be crappie, it could be white bass, could be a hybrid.
Exactly, that's why I like
catfish,
it.
Catfish, yeah.
I've caught them all, you know, spoonbill, walleye, you know, buffalo, carp, channel cat. We've snagged them or got them in, you know, usually they're stacked in there.
Yeah, yeah, especially, again, when they're running water. they really stack up in that slack water area, and everything that's in the lake stacks up in there. So it
sure.
could be a lot of fun.
Oh,
and it's, you know, you catch some garbage fish, the drum.
Who
and,
cares?
And, I know, and garb, but they're fun. I mean, they'll straighten your string out for sure. It's a lot of fun.
One of the best battles I ever had below the dam was a gar.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, he was 4 foot long, 5 foot long. I don't know. He was a huge, just
Did
a
it
huge
get
gar.
Airborne?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've had some that do that. They'll
yeah,
come
and
completely
it was
out
just,
of the water.
You just couldn't, you know, it was just a hoot. I tell you something else that stretches your string and gives you the fight of a lifetime is what I call a wild carp.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
They are nothing but muscle and mass. And anybody that poo-poos catching carp is a buffoon.
Well, you know, in Europe, they're prized game fish.
Sure.
They're like largemouth bass here in the United States. That's what carp are in Europe.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, they, yeah, there's, I've had them take my reel off of my rod.
Sure. Yeah. You know, it's just a hoot.
Yeah.
You know, we catch them, we would throw some worms in the Missouri River every once in a while, or one of the tributaries. And you'd hook up, you know, 6-8, and we would take ultralights on purpose. And you just can't, you know, once they get into the current too, you know, helps them a little. It's just an amazing thing.
And my mom, she knows how to make them. It's been several years since we've done this, but she would pressure cook them.
Sure.
And made what she used to make, and still does. In fact, I think that's what I'm having for breakfast today. Salmon croquettes, salmon patties. And she made them out of carp one time. And we didn't know that we weren't eating salmon. I mean, it was that kind of a flavor. So it's really good meat. Something strange you caught off the dock down at Lake of the Ozarks, caught a koi, a red and white koi.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about, I thought I had a hybrid on.
I'll bet.
But we wound up, this was.
Is that a member of the carp family?
It looks like it. I don't know for sure.
I would assume.
But
it looks
like it.
We're supposed to know that kind of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, well,
know.
If you would have.
Yeah, everybody's shaking their head. Yeah, you should know these things. I didn't
but
know
you talk
the California
about
quail either. I'm a little upset about that one. Let's get a better bird thing. Something in the Midwest next time. You know. Go ahead.
But we caught that fish 3 or 4 times over the course of the summer last year.
Huh.
But it's what a hoot! What they're so fun to catch. But yeah, I'm with you, carp. They're
a hoot.
Yeah,
people just don't understand, you know, about that. The guys were down. They caught so many hybrids off KK Island, they said they didn't care if they caught another fish.
I have never had that many.
They said it was just bizarre. On the deal. They caught one hybrid that had 3 jigs in its mouth.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, so that should tell you something.
Yeah. There's some good fish stories going around about the one that got away.
Yeah. You know, and I don't know. I think Truman is just going to be one of those years that you lie to the boss or you act like you're sick or whatever it takes.
Well, it has been, you know, all winter.
It has, hasn't it?
The crappie just haven't stopped. I mean, they keep moving locations, and for the most part, they spawned. Although Richard Bowling was telling me that he had some clients and some people that he talked to that caught a limit of fish a couple of days ago on the bank.
Yeah.
Still. What the heck?
Smithville up here the other day, the guys were all on the bank. I don't know, what is it, 30 out of Smithville? The 30 crappie is your position limit, I think. Don't check. You better check. But, boy, they were just hammering them off the bank up there. It was just a couple of days ago.
So, still some hanging around the banks. A lot of them have spawned and moved out. And, you know, that's one thing. We caught a lot of female crappie down at the Ozarks last week. And I had one that was oozing eggs still. The rest of them, they had spawned. I mean, they were skinny, but when I flayed a few of them, and they still had eggs in them. So, and I think crappie typically always have some eggs in them. They don't ever drop all of them.
Not all of them, do
right? And that's kind of the case.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are brought to you by one of my favorite sponsors, and I just love these guys, Marty and Monty Tunks up at King City, Missouri. And you've heard me talk about them now for quite a while, and I can't say enough good things about them. If you're needing a garage or a place for a loafing shed or a place for your tractor or your planter, or you're needing a place for your horsey, I'm going to buy Mark a horsey. You need a place for your horsey. You want a pony or a horsey, Mark?
I think a pony.
Pony, a little one.
Yeah.
So you can jump on him. Is that what you're thinking about?
My jumping days are kind of limited.
You can't get very high off the ground anymore.
About a step.
If you'd been with that snake yesterday, you'd have seen I still have it.
Yeah, right.
I was 4 foot vertical. I know. And that stupid dog of mine ran right over top of that stupid snake. And I don't know. It was one of them days, you know. The whole day was like that. But anyway, King City Lumber, my buddies. Go to kingcitylumber.com. If you're needing a garage, outbuilding, or whatever, these are the guys you want to build it, because they are the best. They do use nothing but grade A lumber, and they have master carpenters. I've watched them build a fertilizer thing over the summer last year, and when they got through with it, the thing I thought was absolutely perfect. I've never seen anything like it in my life. I was in a building a while back that's over 10, 12 years old, looks like it was brand new. And here's the deal about these guys. If you're not happy, they're not happy. They will stay with you afterwards. If you got a door that you don't think is quite opening fast enough or bad enough or window or whatever, they will fix it. Whatever you say, they do. There's nobody like them, and I mean that from my heart. It's called kingcitylumber.com. And there is a catch to this. Tell them you heard about it on the Midwest Outdoors. Tell you what, we've got to take a little break. We're going to have Robin Sandoval, Girl and a Gun. Ought to make a good radio show, so put your feet up, grab you that second cup of coffee, and we'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors, and I am pumped up, motivated, and focused this morning. Got Robin Sandoval, a girl and a gun. We're calling down to Texas. Robin, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. We've had a little snafu getting together, and I've been wanting to talk to you for a long, long time. And so a girl and a gun, that is an organization that is what? I mean, explain that to our listeners.
A Girl and a Gun is a national women's shooting league. We have members across the country in all 50 states, and we have training programs at over 200 ranges nationwide where women can learn how to shoot their pistols, rifles, and shotguns. So we address everything for training relating to self-defense, pistol usage, rifle usage, and recreation, competition, community. We do a little bit of everything. We love to get our girls out on the range. Women of all ages and abilities, and we either introduce you to shooting if you are not familiar, or if you are a shooter and you want to come out with the other ladies, we have lots of events going on nationwide.
As the this is Mark, Robin, and thank you for being with us this morning. Has the virus shut down some of your events?
Oh yes, we've had to do a number of things differently over the past several months. We've taken everything virtual, but we are starting to get back to the range now, so cool. That's exciting. We have a lot of chapters that are meeting at the range, and there's different, you know, safety protocols in place, and every range is a little bit different. The county restrictions, the state restrictions, we're very mindful of those and the CDC guidelines. But as people want to get back to the range, we're ready to, our ladies are ready to get going.
Trending. I read a lot about that. Trending right now. A lot of women want to know about hunting. They want to know about fishing, but they also are arming themselves, which I highly recommend. Is that what you're seeing too? Or is it women that get involved with you? Are they, I don't know if it's the word, scared, nervous, upset about society? Would that be part of it?
What spurs a woman into gun ownership is really varied. We see a lot of women for a lot of different reasons. A lot of times they just want to try a new adventure or get out of the house, do something different. Sometimes it does come from a self-defense perspective. That was my journey. I was strongly anti-gun for most of my life.
Really?
And it wasn't until I witnessed the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina on the news when I saw a modern city go to pieces instantly overnight that I watched the aftermath, and that was when I saw a woman turn to strangers who were getting on a bus to Houston. She was at the Superdome. There was death. There was destruction. There was fear. And she turned to strangers, and she said, "Please take my small children. I'll try to find you in a few days."
Wow.
And I turned to my husband with tears in my eyes, and I said, "What do I have to do that's never me? That we can hunker down as a family, that we can stay together, that no matter what happens, you know, if there's a situation, we'll be okay." And I decided to store peanut butter and tuna fish and so that we could stay together.
Sure.
And he said, "That's fine, but if a city is that desperate and there's chaos and there's looting and, you know, the fear is palpable, if someone kicks in our door, how are we going to protect our kids?" Mm-hmm. And after arguing for gun control my entire life, I suddenly had no argument. And so that was the beginning of my journey to eventually become a gun owner, to learn it, to mentor other women, to instruct other women, to really be a part of this community and competition and all the fun side of shooting. But that was my journey, too, was coming through that self-defense side. But it really varies. A lot of women just, especially, we're going to be up in your neck of the woods in August at a clay championship. So a lot of women are coming into the clay side of shooting just because shotgun sports are really fun.
Oh, yeah.
It also kind of connects to what you said about hunting. A lot of people are wanting to get more in the outdoors, especially right now with social distancing. People have been cooped up. So a lot of people want to get out there and just try something new and do something fun.
Well, Robin, how did you get involved with a girl and a gun, and why did you get involved with it?
Well, I was a new gun owner, and at the time, there was a woman who was my friend and mentor, Juliana Crowder. She was a firearms instructor here in Austin, Texas, and she decided, as an instructor, she was trying to get more women to the range, and she was trying to identify what keeps a woman from the range. Is it, I don't have time, I don't have money, I don't have, I'm afraid. What are the reasons why someone might not want to go to a gun range? And so she decided to make it a fun social event, and she had a happy hour at the gun range.
Cool.
After work, bring your friends, and she brought her gun, she brought her ammo, she brought her knowledge, and it was just a really great time for women to come together. And I heard she was doing this. Actually, my husband heard he was doing this, because at the time I was not going to be participating. I don't know if I was more scared of meeting other women or going to a gun range or shooting the gun. It was all of the above. And so he said, I heard about this woman, Juliana, who's starting these groups. You should go. And I RSVP'd for you. I signed you up, so you have to go. And so I went to her third girls' night out, and I met other women. And, you know, just by being with other women and being able to talk about guns, talk about how do they talk to their children about guns, how do they store them safely in the home, what opportunities are out there, how do you, you know, go to the range with your husband, how do you go to the range with your friends. Just all of those different things about being a new gun owner and coming into this more from a social aspect, it really did assuage all my fears and create the confidence in me to learn more. And to, I started IDPA competitions. I started really branching out and learning all different platforms. And that was really my journey. So at the time, I had, you know, I had three children and I had a career, and I was not looking for this to be a life-changing experience, but it was. At the same time, Juliana was building the league, and other women and other instructors in other cities were reaching out saying, how can we do what you're doing? How can we bring women to the range? And so she and I partnered up, and now we have a girls' night out at the range at over 200 ranges across the nation, where instructors can have kind of a plug-and-play program on how to bring women into the range and keep them engaged through multiple programs.
I bet it's an amazing deal. There's got to be some ladies that show up that are just petrified. Horror stories. The media tries to drive a wedge in there an awful lot, seems to me like. But I bet the transition is amazing. I, all of a sudden, I can't touch that dirty gun to, I'm talking about buying a new pistol and better sights and more scopes and more ammunition, reloading my own. I bet it's an amazing transition into Robin.
That's exactly what happens. We see people not only transform, you know, we love to watch their journey, because not only as their groups get smaller on the target, their confidence grows. And
I'll
that's
bet.
The thing that's so amazing to see. We've had women come to our events that it has completely changed their life. It completely changed mine. But, for example, we had an event years ago out at the Whittington Center in New Mexico, and we brought women out and introduced them to, we did a natural terrain three-gun stage, and we did some long range, and we did some things that a lot of people hadn't been exposed to. And on this three-gun stage, this one woman realized she was a natural shotgunner. She had never shot in moving targets before.
Wow.
She'd only shot paper. And it was just natural for her. Her moving point of aim was really great. And she went home from that weekend a completely different person.
I'll
and
bet.
What was amazing about it is that she ran, she was the troop mom for her Girl Scout troop. And she had two daughters, and she said, I realized I was a different person when I took the troop bowling. And I had never wanted to bowl before because I didn't want to get up in front of everybody, and I didn't want to look, you know, like I didn't know what I was doing. But she said, you know what? I decided I was going to try something new, and I discovered I was a pretty good bowler, too. And all of these things, you know, it really flows into other areas of your life where you think, I didn't think I could do that, and I was afraid, and I conquered it. And now I'm not only okay at it, I'm really good at it. What else? What other things am I really good at?
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
That's so cool.
Isn't that wonderful?
Have fun.
I'll bet you the transformation of this is absolutely unbelievable.
And probably make some long-lasting friendships.
And confidence in their life and the deal, you know?
Absolutely. We have members. We have 6,500 members across the country, wow. And these women have become really great friends that look forward to seeing each other every year at all of our events.
I'll bet. My goodness. This is cool.
You mentioned you're going to have an event in our neck of the woods in August. What part of the, where are you going to be?
We're going to be at Powder Creek Shooting Park in Lenexa.
Oh, wow. Just right out here.
Right here. Right to the edge. We're right here by the studio, practically.
Oh, we need to get you to come into the studio. Are you going to be here?
I would love it. Yeah, we're going to be there August 13th through 15th, hosting the first ever all-women's clay championship. So there's been a lot of women's shoots before in the shotgun sports, but there's never been an all-women's championship. So we're really excited to kind of take this to the next level. Our friends at CZUSA are presenting this, and we're going to have clinics for people that this might be their first clay shoot. So we're going to have some clinics with pro shooters the day before, and then ladies can shoot sporting clays and five stand and trap and some flurries and fun stuff, and it's going to be really great. Lots of great prizes and fun, and it's all ladies. And anyone who wants to learn more about that can find information on our website at agirlandagun.org.
Hmm. Right here in our backyard, Mark.
Yeah, cool.
This is going to be cool. You are booked. I hope you can find your schedule, come in the studio that day or the day before the shoot on a Saturday morning. I don't know if you could or not, but, boy, we'd love to have you in here and give that a big send-off.
Yeah, right. That'd be fun.
That'd be great.
Oh, my goodness. That pumps me up. That's a cool facility out there. Have you ever been there, Mark?
No, I haven't.
It's quite a deal. It really, really is.
But sporting clays are so much fun. And if you've never done that, it's just like golf with a shotgun. And it's just so much fun.
That one year I hit one. I did. I have witnesses. I hit one. How the deal? So what the hey? Owning a gun. Let's take this very, very seriously. I know an awful lot of ladies that wouldn't even think about purchasing a firearm, and I understand I'm scared of guns. My co-host here is scared of guns. My producer is scared of guns. We have the ultimate respect for firearms. I don't know if scared or respect would be the terminology. But at this deal in Lenexa, if you're a novice, if you don't feel comfortable, if you want to see the other side of the coin, would this be a good place to start?
Absolutely. If someone wants to just come out and meet us, a lot of times people are surprised, especially when I meet people. You know, I'm at the PTA meeting and I'm doing things with my children, and people say, well, what do you do for a living? And I'm always like, well, funny, you should ask, because I don't look like a typical gun girl. Like, you would not look at me and think, oh, she runs a national women's organization that teaches people how to shoot pistols, rifles, and shotguns. I'm just a normal mom. And so a lot of times when I meet people, and they see, oh, these women are really fun, and they're really nice, and they're answering my questions, and they can, you know, one of the great things about A Girl and a Gun is we meet people where they are. If you're ready to jump in and shoot a three-gun match, we're ready to throw you in there and send you on your way. But if you're just curious, if you're just interested, and a lot of times, you know, self-defense kind of, especially for a shooting organization, people think, oh, we want to put guns in everyone's hands. But really, we want to meet you in your journey and give you the tools you need to succeed. And a lot of times people just need some information on situational awareness, how to find self-defense resources in their area. Maybe they just want to learn how to use their voice better to tell people to get back, you're too close to me. Maybe giving that confidence and giving them the words to use in that situation. Maybe some less lethal options. Maybe they want to learn how to use pepper spray effectively or a knife tool or a blunt object. So Kubaton training. So we have a lot of things. Maybe they just want to learn some first aid. You know, part of being a responsible gun owner is also having medical supplies and knowing that side of the coin too. Hmm. So we really focus on the complete package of knowledge. And depending on where you are in your journey, if you're ready to carry hot in the chamber, we've got training for that. But if you're ready just to learn more about the culture of being your own first responder, what to do if you feel threatened out in public, what to do if you feel threatened with your when you're with your family, what to do if you ever feel a threat when you're at home. If you're just interested in that kind of first steps, introduction to how to be your own first responder, because, you know, we really love law enforcement. I respect them greatly, but they're still minutes away. And if something's happening to me and my children right now, I need to be able to address that threat immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole continuation there of knowledge. And one of the great things is just being that ever, having that ever student mindset. So, you know, there's always something more to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And we're so grateful that we have such a great program. We've been doing this for 9 years. And so our program is really vast, and we can address pretty much every aspect of self-defense, competition, recreation, and community.
That's insane. I mean, there's so much information available. How can people access this?
Well, we have a website, agirlandagun.org, and we have a lot of events. We don't have a Kansas City chapter at the moment. I would love to get a chapter going there, but
cool.
We do have a lot of national events that members can join. We have weekly emails that go out with training tips. We have a shooting journal, which is a printed document on basically that works as kind of your own personal instructor to guide you through the journey of learning how to shoot everything from the safety aspect all the way into some basic marksmanship proficiency, some drills you can use to learn those skills. So we have, whether it's email or print or digital, we have some digital courses you can take online. And then, of course, the in-person classes are always the best. So you can find a local gun range and local instruction, or you can join us at one of our regional or national events.
You got any national sponsors we can plug here on the air that you 110% recommend?
Well, in your neck of the woods, everyone at CZUSA are huge, big supporters of us, and we're grateful for them. Our national sponsor is Sig Sauer.
Cool.
We're always grateful for the support of Sig that sponsors our national conference in the spring, and they're also sponsoring our Back the Blue event, Back the Women in Blue, for our law enforcement training. And then in October, we have our Fall Festival, which is our three-gun, our multi-gun, and our multi-sport match. That's going to be in Alabama, and that's sponsored by Glock. So I'm definitely grateful for the support of those manufacturers and all of the people in the industry that support us.
Yeah, I'll tell you, CZ is a good company. They're right here in town, and they're just a really, really, I know a few of those guys a little bit, and I hear nothing but good things about those guys. So that's great that they're behind you 110% on this deal. So I'm notorious for stupid questions, so I got to ask you a stupid question, okay? And maybe there's not an answer to this, but and men would be the same. I'm not pointing. There's a certain percentage of people that maybe shouldn't have a gun.
Is that a question?
Yeah. Is there? I mean, they don't have the mentality to handle a gun safely. They don't have the makeup that it would take. See, guns are such, people kind of take guns. We, as us guys here listening now, we take guns for granted. They are a spooky object.
Yeah. Well,
and there's a lot of responsibility here when you purchase a gun. And I assume that there's some people out here that just don't have the makeup to handle this. You know, maybe I'm wrong. You know, it is a stupid question, but I think that certain, I don't know how you do this. I don't know how you eliminate, say, you can own a gun, you can't type thing. But I don't know. I've been around people who thought they were toys, and they're not.
No.
Right, and I dedicate my life to teaching gun safety and safe storage and proficiency. So I hear what you're saying, and there's definitely a conversation about that. When it's all about education. It's about giving them
yes.
the tools to find training, to find that introductory class. Guns are a tool. And if you know, someone was telling me a couple weeks ago, I was talking to someone who was afraid of them and said, well, I just think I would hurt myself. And I said that was a valid concern, because they can be an object of lethal force. But if you don't injure yourself when you're driving, if you don't injure yourself when you're cutting your steak, if you don't injure yourself when you're doing other things that could be harmful, when you're swimming, when you're, you know, it's about training. It's about, you don't just give a 16-year-old some car keys and send her on her way. You introduce her to the safety of it and the responsibility of it, and you kind of coach
exactly.
her through those that
yeah.
learning.
That was my point.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. You know, you've got to feel comfortable around this object. You know, the basics, Robin, of just loading this gun. You know, that would intimidate and run some people off. Just the putting in the clip and jacking the gun in a pistol, or putting the shotgun shell up in the tube. You know, it's, and you got to start somewhere, and you might as well get around. And if you're a lady and you're scared of these things, please take the time and go to this. Now, this is August when?
Well, this is August 13th through 15th is our clays shoot, our shotgun shoot out in your neck of the woods. But we have training going on all over the country, and we have, if someone is interested in self-defense or if they're interested in learning just some basic gun safety, definitely look us up online. Go to agirlinagun.org, find a local gun range. There's really great informative classes. You don't even have to touch a gun to learn gun safety.
There you go.
Most of it's just mental and learning the how it works, the four rules of gun safety. There are some rules that we live by, and just being introduced to those is, it will prevent accidents, will prevent kind of calm your fears about it, because a gun is a tool. It's going to sit on the desk until you touch it. It's not going to do anything.
Exactly.
And by having that confidence and that knowledge on how to use it and how to use it proficiently, it doesn't take a whole lot of time. You know, in one class, you could really be a confident and responsible gun owner. But it does, going back to your point, though, you know, it's everyone's Second Amendment right. The Second Amendment is for
sure
everybody.
Is.
So there are people who may not have the disposition, you know, might be afraid. A lot of that can be trained away. And a lot of times someone will say, you know, that's just not going to be the tool I'm going to use for self-defense, and that's okay. I'm not an advocate of forcing anyone to learn. And that's what I always tell women, is that you are 100% in control of the learning process. If you're afraid and you don't want to touch it, you don't have to touch it. We'll just talk about the safety of it. Because the reality is nowadays, you need to know the naming conventions, the nomenclature of it, just so that if you want to be able to educate your children about it, there are rules for children. Stop, don't touch, run away, tell an adult. If even if you don't have guns in your home, if your child goes to someone else's home, you
exactly.
want to, you know, it's the same way you would teach them fire safety or pool safety or stranger danger. Like, it's just another safety tool. And I've had women come to me, and I'm honored to be a resource for them, who say, I myself am not comfortable with guns. I don't want them in my home, but I'm not naive to what's out there, and I want my children to be safe. And that alone is such a beautiful conversation, just to give these kids the tools of stop, don't touch, run away, tell a grown-up. And it's just a matter of giving parents the tools to not be ignorant about guns or afraid of guns, so that they just at least have some kind of working infrastructure to, or, you know, some guidelines to work within, so that they can be successful at whatever level they want.
Robin, you're a wonderful person. We're out of radio time. I enjoyed this probably more than you will ever know. I was really looking forward to this interview with you, because I'd heard such good things about you and through the industry. And ladies and gentlemen, August the 13th, you probably be able to shake her hand and talk with her out here, August the 13th through the 15th. We'll try to get you to come into the studio the Saturday before the big event out there, if you possibly could.
Yeah.
So
Saturday before or Saturday
it.
Of.
The Saturday of,
yeah.
And we'd love to have you. And Robin, thank you for getting up so early and joining us here on air.
No, thank you, and you guys have a great day.
All right.
Thank you, Robin. Awesome.
Agirlinagun.org.
That's where you go. Check that out.
Agirlinagun.org. You know, I have such strong beliefs about this. I maybe get a little bit emotional about this, but I think you should be able to protect yourself. I'm just sorry. I just really, really do. Hey, we are brought to you by Reed Chevrolet up in St. Joseph, Missouri, I-29 in Frederick. If you've not been to the store, they still have a few new pickups up there. They are getting some new ones. They're accelerating the building process for the Silverado pickups. They will have inventory. They still got inventory. But if you're looking for a good used, this is the time to probably take a look. ReedAuto.com USA. They are fantastic people. I cannot say enough good things about the Reed family. I love them to death. They're honest, they're sincere, and they're dedicated to their profession. And they're all military-backed people, and I just love them. Trevin Reed is just a tremendous, tremendous person. So if you need a dealership that stands behind you 110% after the sale, you're looking at Reed Chevrolet. They'll never, ever sell you a car. They will always help you buy one. I love these people. I can't say. I just hang out there a lot.
Yeah.
That's how much I like these guys. and we got a little slack time, I go by and see him. Well, Mark, that wraps it up for this edition of Midwest Outdoors.
She was great, Robin Sandoval, and a girl and a gun.org. And they're looking for a chapter to open up here in Kansas City. So if there's any women out there that might be interested, they really ought to contact Robin and maybe talk about getting a chapter. And we'll help any way we can.
Any way we possibly can. Maybe put it on our Facebook.
Yeah.
Okay.
Greg Thompson, are you listening?
Yeah, Greg. I tell you what, that wraps it up for this edition. We got to go for this week. The next time we see you, I hope we see you in the great outdoors.
Enjoy this weather. Have a good week. So long, everybody.